coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Dynasty Coaches Podcast. I am Coach Dylan, along with Coach Charlie. Nick is gone again. We're trying our best to get him on, so we have the trio back, but life happens. So we got a great show for you guys again. We got a couple news items to go across, and then we are talking about the NFC wide receivers. Last week we did the AFC. Good show, so make sure you guys check that one out. But we got NFC wide receivers this week. No trades again, just because wide receivers are so big. But next week we'll get the trades back. Let's go ahead and get right into it. We got one news item here, Deshaun Watson. I know we've been talking about him like crazy the last couple podcasts, but the NFL extended his suspension to 11 games now, from 8 to 11. Does this do anything to the value of the weapons in Cleveland for you?
Well, it doesn't help him. This drops Amari Cooper in my rankings a lot. I had him on my trade chart. I had him up pretty high, but now I've kind of dropped him down a bit because having Jacoby Brissett throwing the football is not the same thing as having Deshaun Watson throwing you the football. So it's not good for him. It's not good for David Bell. It's not good for any of the Don Peoples-Jones. It's not really too good for anyone, you know, except maybe the running backs, because I could see, you know, being more dump offs and stuff like that. So if Kareem Hunt sticks around in Cleveland, I guess that's good for him. But other than that, I really don't see too much upside with this Cleveland offense for the first 11 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I don't see Kareem Hunt going anywhere now for sure. But I read somewhere that this hurts Nick Chubb, and I'm like, what? I mean, they're going to rely on Nick Chubb more.
That's going to help Nick Chubb.
I mean, they're going to be so run heavy the first 11 weeks. It's not even funny. Go out and buy Nick Chubb right now. I mean – he's going to explode these first 11 weeks. But I definitely don't have Amari Cooper as a receiver that I can rely on right now. I mean, I made a trade for Amari Cooper for Cortland Sutton, and I'm ecstatic about that. So, but moving along here, our last news article that we'll talk about. What is Washington doing, man? I mean, you got a talent like Antonio Gibson, and you're completely screwing him. You got Brian Robinson running with the ones, and Antonio Gibson is returning punts. What the hell is Washington doing?
I don't know, but they're really stupid. I mean, this is just a franchise of complete ineptitude. I mean, I thought the Giants were bad. Washington's just as bad, if not worse. I mean, I just don't understand it. Antonio Gibson is one of the better running backs in football. He commits a singular fumble.
Yeah.
One fumble. And he gets punished like this. It's ridiculous. You don't see this happening with any other good running backs in the NFL. You know, you get admonished for your mistakes. That's one thing. I absolutely understand that, because you can't be fumbling the football. But It's an entirely other thing to have him relegated to, you know, returning kicks.
Yeah, I agree.
And Brian Robinson is there to spell Antonio Gibson, not to take his job.
Do you think – I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Do you think that they could use Antonio Gibson more as a receiver this year?
Well, J.D. McKissick's there.
Yeah, but their weapons right now – at receiver and not great outside of Terry McLaurin.
And Gibson played wide receiver in college.
Yeah, hopefully that's what's happening, man.
They could use him there.
All I can say is he's a free agent in 2024. I can't wait, because get him away from Washington, get him on his second contract with a team that knows how to use running backs.
I hate Ron Rivera.
Which is crazy.
I'm going to use him in the Christian McCaffrey role. When's that happening,
Ron? Last year he said he was Christian McCaffrey 2.0.
When's that happening, Ron?
I agree.
I would love to see him. I have a buddy of mine who is a huge Antonio Gibson guy, got him in the second round of the rookie draft, and that turned out to be at the time a lot of steal. And we're still waiting for the Antonio Gibson, you know, let him go, unleash the reins. And it's Washington just hates him.
I agree. I don't get it. I mean, how many running backs have fumbling problems in the NFL? And
they all do. Almost all of them do. Running backs fumble the football. It happens.
Yep, I agree. I don't know. Let's go ahead and move on here to the main topic here.
That's probably for the best.
We got NFC wide receivers. We're going to start with the NFC East. Start with Dallas Cowboys here. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, who everybody is projecting as this year's next breakout star in the NFL. What do you think about him? I know we haven't really seen star potential or star work yet. I mean, we've seen some potential, but he hasn't really.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of just expecting it to happen because Amari Cooper's gone. And that, you know, CeeDee Lamb's going to suddenly turn into this superstar that, you know, everyone's expecting him to be since he came out of Oklahoma. And like you said, meaning we've seen those flashes, but we haven't quite seen the whole package. But if there's a year for it, it's this year. He's locked and loaded as that alpha wide receiver in a prime Dallas offense with Dak Prescott under center. And we know Dak can sling it with the best of them, so that's nothing but a good sign. I like him for it, but I think he's a little more risky than maybe some of the other wide receiver one options on other teams out there. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean he's currently going at 707 in a. That's wrong. I that's a typo.
It seems a little late.
That's a typo. But I've seen him going above, especially in Dynasty, above Cooper Kupp. Do you have him above Cooper Kupp in Dynasty?
I think I have them very close to one another.
All right. I don't know, man. It's hard because Kupp's still young.
I'm always about the young talent. But
yeah, but
Kupp was ridiculous last year.
And Kupp is only,
I think he's 28 or 29.
29, so.
But I hate that age 30. I'm always afraid. I fear that drop off once a player hits 30. I know it's not just like you hit 30 and you turn into a bad player, but
yeah,
you wonder when the regression sets in. But for now, Cooper Kupp's the best. You know, he had the best season in football. You could argue that he's, you know, him, Jefferson, and Chase. You know, best wide receivers in football. So
yeah, for sure. I want to say it because I like CeeDee Lamb, but he hasn't really shown stardom yet. So we'll see. He's going to get peppered with targets all year long. So we're going to see for sure what he is. But moving along, Michael Gallup and Jalen Tolbert. You have Jalen Tolbert is a rookie starting to show some really good plays in training camp. Michael Gallup, is he still on the pup list?
I haven't. Let me take a look.
Yeah, no, I can't remember.
You can keep going. I'll take a look.
But, I mean, you're looking at two young guys. I've been trying to get Michael Gallup everywhere because, I mean, you give this guy 120 targets. I mean, he had 113 targets in 2019, put up 66 receptions, 1,100 yards, and 6 touchdowns. You're currently getting this guy at the in round 13, so he's free pretty much. What do you feel about these guys?
I'm more intrigued by Tolbert than anything else. Okay. Michael Gallup's interesting because he has a severe injury history. On that note, he ran routes at practice the other day on Thursday.
Okay,
so he's back on the grind.
Yeah.
Tolbert, I was watching him his tape at South Alabama, and he's pretty damn electric, I think is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And putting him in a great situation with a great quarterback is only going to serve to help him. Yeah. I think it wouldn't surprise me if he asserted himself as the number two option in this offense, because I'm really not convinced that Michael Gallup can stay on the field.
You're getting
your history. And even if he is on the field, Dak Prescott can support multiple weapons.
Oh, yeah.
So, I – I have high hopes for Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah. You're getting Tolbert at a good value right now, too, at 210. So each of these guys are good value picks. But out of everybody on that team, Lamb, Gallup, Tolbert, Schultz, Zeke, Pollard, who do you think takes the hit is not going to hit their ADP?
Probably Zeke and Gallup.
Okay.
Those two, because we talked about Zeke before the podcast. You know, he's had his issues, and Pollard's taken on way more of a role. And I just discussed Michael Gallup, and I'm just concerned with his injuries, and he hasn't really been too consistent either when he's been able to stay on the field. So
yeah, for sure. All right, moving right along, you got your New York Football Giants here.
Cool boy.
Start with Kadarius Toney. He put on a show in the games that he was able to stay healthy last year. I mean, you're currently getting him in the 10th round. Does this guy have wide receiver one in fantasy potential? Top 12?
Daniel Jones loves him. Those two have a great connection. I mean, Toney has been – they've been treating him with kid gloves because of his – and he has a lot of injuries too. Jeez, you want to talk about injury prone.
Yeah.
But they've been really careful with him. He's been practicing lightly, but he isn't playing in any preseason games. But he has some of the best moves I think I've seen from a wide receiver in a very long time. So agile, so quick. He's the definition of boomer bust because he could easily be, you know, a low-end wide receiver one, but he could also bottom out and not do anything. So yeah. It's really interesting. But I think he's the best wide receiver on the Giants.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think he's definitely number one there, which is crazy because they gave all that money to Kenny Golladay last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Golladay
– Speaking of
Golladay, yeah, Wandale Robinson and Kenny Golladay, who do you think is the number two there?
I think Golladay is the number two. Mm-hmm. Brian Daboll spoke the other day that they're trying to get Kenny Golladay more involved in the offense this year, and they were disappointed about what happened last year with him. And Golladay finally had a good practice the other day, making some impressive deep catches. You know, because he's a big physical wide receiver. That's what he's supposed to do. And the Giants neglected that last year with that god-awful Jason Garrett offense. So hopefully with Daboll, they can find a way to use Kenny Golladay better.
Yeah, it's –
and it's also injuries with too. The Giants just love to load up on injury-prone players, I guess. They're the most injured team in the NFL in, like, the past decade, I think, which is amazing.
Jeez.
I'm telling you, it's the Meadowlands turf field. I'm telling you. I hate MetLife Stadium.
I think Golladay could be used in the red zone quite a bit. I mean, he had 11 receiving touchdowns in 2019. So – I mean, he's a taller wide receiver. I think that everybody kind of has their role. Toney is more of the explosive, might score from 40 yards out type player, whereas Golladay, I think, will be more used in the red zone. And Robinson, he's kind of maybe one of both, I think.
He's a gadget guy.
Yeah, I think everybody here, Robinson – definitely has the potential to be really, really good. The most potential.
He's been impressive in camp, too. The Giants, I mean, we thought – I know a lot of us thought it was a reach at the time in the draft, but he's been impressive.
Very good.
He looks good. And so. They said they're going to find ways to get him involved. He's been running with the first team. He's probably going to start.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants have a lot of weapons. You've got Sterling Shepard is on the men, too, who we don't even have listed on here. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Do you think that Shepard or Darius Slayton even was a thing at one point? Do you think that they play a role?
I think Shepard will play a role because he's the vet. He's been with the team the longest. He's a security safety blanket for Daniel Jones if Sterling Shepard can stay on the field. I think Darius Slayton is pretty much irrelevant now. He's a cut candidate at his salary right now, $2.5 million for a guy who might not even make the team.
Yeah.
He flashed, but he has a huge problem with drops, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy either. Again, every Giants wide receiver except for Wandale Robinson has injury problems. So.
Yeah. I think Golladay is probably the best value right now. You're getting him in the 15th round or later. Right now, and he's been a wide receiver too before. So I think he's probably the best value out of these guys. But I'm trading for all these guys if I can. I think that they are in for a good year. So moving on here, the Eagles. You got AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith was extremely good last year for being a rookie. He was the number one prior to AJ Brown coming in. Who do you think has a better season? Who's the number one there? Is it 1A, 1B, or is there 1-2?
I really think it's going to be a lot of 1A, 1B because they've both been – because first there was a report that said Devonta Smith's still going to be the number one wide receiver in this offense. But then, you know, just the other day, a report from Eagles practice saying AJ Brown performing like the alpha wide receiver. So, you know, it's like, you know, I think you're kind of going to get a bit of both here. And it really also depends on if Jalen Hurts can take a leap and be a better passer. Because we know he could do with his legs, but he was very inconsistent at best throwing the football last year. And it showed. It really showed. The Eagles struggled. I've been fond of saying that the Eagles are where wide receivers go to die. I mean, we saw it with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. They finally dumped him to Seattle. We saw it with the Jalen Reagor failed experiment. Like, I mean, before they finally got Devonta Smith, they haven't had a good wide receiver since that 1 year of Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, a lot of other guys came in and just died or, didn't do anything successful. So it's interesting to see two really good dynamic talents on an Eagles team at wide receiver because it's not something you're typically used to. The Eagles thrive on, you know, a running back committee and good tight ends. So, it looks like they have a more complete offensive team, which is exciting for them. So I think the Eagles are, you know, could win a division this year. If it's not the Cowboys, I think the Eagles would probably be my next pick. I despise the Eagles, but looking at it realistically, that's probably who I would have next up. And it all starts with these two guys. So I think we're probably going to see something like one of them finishing as a high-end wide receiver two, one finishing as like a low-end wide receiver one, because there's enough targets to go around that they can both be supported in this type of offense. Again, if Jalen Hurts can figure it out, that's what it all hangs on. Talent's there.
I agree. Right now, Devonta Smith, I think, is the pick to go for me, at least, because, I mean, you're getting him four rounds later.
Yeah, the value is there for Smith.
Yes, you're gonna get same amount of value or same amount of production, I think, from Smith, and you're getting 4 rounds later.
Yeah, so exactly. I mean, we talked about it earlier. It's kind of a 1A, 1B thing.
Yeah.
So you might as well take the value with Smith, and you can go and, you know, better spend your assets somewhere else earlier in the third round.
I agree. That's taking nothing away from AJ Brown. I mean, if he were to fall a little bit farther, then I think I'd probably take AJ Brown. But right now, it's the value of a seventh round. Devonta Smith is more appealing to me. But speaking of Jalen Reagor, side note here, there's a report that the Broncos are trying to pursue him.
Why?
I'm like, what are we doing?
Why? I mean,
I don't know if they're panicking because of Tim Patrick or what, but.
Oh, so that's the pivot, Jalen Reagor?
Yeah. I don't know, man. So,
moving along here. Another wide receiver.
Washington Commanders. We were talking about Wentz earlier.
Carson Mid.
Yeah. You got Terry McLaurin. He's clear-cut number one wide receiver on this team. Getting in the fifth round. He had his best season last year, statistic-wise. Are you looking to buy Terry McLaurin right now?
It's interesting because Terry McLaurin, statistic-wise, is a ridiculously good wide receiver, but it seems that for fantasy, it doesn't always pan out because he doesn't always score enough touchdowns, you know, or I don't know. It's just one of the more confusing things. He's also played with some incredibly bad quarterbacks, and yet still finds a way to, you know, put up over 1,000 yards.
Is Wentz the best quarterback he's played with?
Right, and the fact that Carson Wentz is the best quarterback he ever played with, I mean, that's a whole nother thing, and Washington ineptitude, but beside the point. Carson Wentz can support, I think, one wide receiver to be really good. We've seen it in the past. We saw it last year with Michael Pittman in Indianapolis. And we've seen it in the past at Philadelphia where he helped Alshon Jeffrey. So I think that this is a year for Terry McLaurin to kind of step up a little more. And I think he could end up with something like 100-plus catches. He could get to 1,200, 1,300 yards. If he can get close to double-digit touchdowns, like if he can get 9 or 10 touchdowns, use him in the red zone.
Yeah.
He's good. Terry McLaurin can do everything.
Oh, yeah. He's, what, 6'4", I think?
He's a beast. I love Terry McLaurin, but
Yep.
He was wasting away in Washington, and he still could if he doesn't leave. So,
yeah. I agree. I think McLaurin is his top 15 potential, but I don't know if he's going to be able to get there.
Yeah, key word on potential.
Yeah. So, Curtis Samuel, he was starting to break out in Carolina, came to Washington, and was hurt majority of the year last year. The guy is – he's – I want to say the Debo role, but the guy received 41 rushing attempts in 2020. Can you see more of a Debo role for Curtis Samuel this year?
I mean, maybe. I'm not a big Curtis Samuel guy at all. He has can't stay on the field. I mean, that's just the big thing. I can't trust a guy if he's barely capable of suiting up on a Sunday. So, and I honestly kind of almost view him as like a negative asset, or just, you know, outright droppable in a lot of leagues. I guess he's worth a flyer in a couple dynasty leagues, depending on how deep your rosters go. But he's intriguing, but I'm just not sold on him, I guess. If he was healthy and, you know, they're going to use him in a Debo-type role, that's one thing. But I'm not convinced he can stay on the field, so it's not something I'm interested in.
Yeah, and now he's – I don't know, man. I mean, he's been a productive receiver as, like, a number three possible wide receiver. Rushing upside helps him definitely, but we haven't seen a number two wide receiver out of Washington in forever. I don't even remember the last number two relevant wide receiver in Washington. So
there hasn't been one.
Yeah. So I'm out on Curtis Samuel also, but Jahan Dotson, he's interesting here. He's going at the 112 in ADP in rookie drafts. I don't know about you, but I'm taking Pickens for sure over him.
Oh, that's without question. You know, the fact that Pickens went in the second round of the draft is pretty remarkable because I think he's better than Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. What about
I think that's just more of Washington reaching than anything else. Again, Washington being Washington, doing weird stuff.
Yeah.
But George Pickens has been a stud in camp. And in my rookie draft, I mean, Pickens went before, Pickens, Christian Watson, a lot of those second round wide receivers went ahead of Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, you got three rookies going after him right now, and two of them we've already talked about, Jalen Tolbert and Wendell Robinson. But then you have Romeo Doubs also, who's putting on a show. Out of those four, who, I mean, is Dotson number one out of those four?
Jesus, I mean, I put him ahead of Doubs. But I can't really convince myself to put him above any of those other guys because those other guys are having really strong camps and seem poised to be big parts of better offenses,
yeah.
At least on paper. In the Giants' case, I'm not going to make any claims there. But
yeah,
Jalen Tolbert in Dallas, better than Dotson in Washington. Romeo Doubs in Green Bay, better situation, but again, a lot of mouths to feed. Wandale with the Giants, I think, you know, there's something there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm just not – I guess I'm not convinced.
Actually,
like you said, Washington hasn't really been able to support two good wide receivers at the same time.
Yeah. I just think I might take Doubs over him also. Just
That's fair. I could see that too. But so, I just think that Rodgers is going to go to some more proven veterans and probably Christian Watson as well. So.
Yeah. That's the thing, and we'll get into that more.
Well, yeah, again, when we get to the Packers, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
again.
Christian Watson hasn't played really much so far. So, but moving along here, we'll NFC North. Here we go.
Speak of the devil, the NFC North. All right.
We'll start with the Chicago Bears here.
Do we have to talk about the Bears?
Yes, we do. I know it's going to be painful, but
just Darnell Mooney and nothing else. Here. I don't want to talk about the Bears.
Chicago Bears, Darnell Mooney. He is their number one. I don't know if he profiles as a true number one wide receiver.
Well, he's going to be one.
He is their number one just by default. He received 140 targets last year. I mean, with that type of production, is there any way that he falls out of the top 20?
It's almost no shot. I mean, Darnell Mooney, based off of volume alone, is going to be a top wide receiver for fantasy. Mm-hmm. You know, back end wide receiver one potential, I believe.
Yeah.
Because who else are they going to throw to? The really old rookie, Velus Jones, Byron Pringle. You know, these guys aren't worth anything for me.
Yeah.
And then N'Keal Harry. I think N'Keal Harry got hurt already.
Yeah, he did. He's out for
half a year, I think, right? Something like that.
Yeah, at least so, the rest
Bears,
of the
Bears are scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I'm gonna, you know, shoot some giggles here. I'm gonna look at the Bears wide receiver depth chart because I guarantee you it is really, really ugly.
You got Equanimeous St. Brown, Dante Pettis, Devin Newsome, Tajay Sharp.
Oh. This is please,
is there
please
anybody
stop.
in that list that I just named that?
No. There's nobody worth mentioning on this Bears team after Darnell Mooney, unless you like really old rookies, which means you could take a flyer on Velus Jones.
Yeah, God, it's so bad. And
the Bears have Dante Pettis, Giants legend. How could I forget about him?
I have Justin Fields in one of my leagues, and it's so hard not to panic on him. I don't know, man. It's extremely hard to even talk about the Bears.
I swapped Justin Fields for Zach Wilson in one of my leagues, and boy, am I glad I did that.
Yeah, I agree. Go after Mooney, but everybody else.
Mooney because of Mooney only because of volume.
Yeah, you're gonna have all these guys on the waiver wire anyway. If one decides to start going nuts,
exactly. You can pick them up, spend some of your fab.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on. Detroit, you got Amon-Ra. He had a great rookie year. It was all towards the very end of his rookie year, but great rookie year regardless. They're getting back T.J. Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. Is Amon-Ra still going to be Amon-Ra? Is he still going to have great production like that?
I don't think so, but let me preface that by saying I think the Lions are not getting talked about enough because I think they're going to be – the Lions, even last year, the Lions fought. They were a scrappy team playing down to the last minute, and they, if it wasn't for like a Justin Tucker 60-something-yard field goal, they had a chance to win that game. Mm-hmm. You know, so I like the Lions. They're scrappy, and they got better this offseason. Boy, did they get better. Their offense actually has a lot of weapons now, and, you know, Jared Goff has enough to work with, and so – you know, what's Jared Goff going to do? That's another thing. But I think Jared Goff's competent enough that the Lions can be a better offensive team. But going back to Amon-Ra, he did a lot of his damage last year with, you know, the weapons and Swift and Hockenson out. And with them adding Chark, adding Jamison Williams, and not to mention those other guys coming back healthy, I think there's going to be a lot more spreading the ball around. So I think that alone, if nothing else, is going to limit Amon-Ra, even if he were to still command a target share.
Yeah, it's crazy. Detroit went from being a bottom of the NFL team to holy cow, Detroit has some players.
Yeah, and I mean they found Amon-Ra in the fourth round was a gem of a pick.
Yeah. Because
even if he's not, you know, the number one wide receiver in the offense, he's still a very good quality starter.
Exactly. I mean, would you out of Amon-Ra, DJ Chark has shown that he could be the number one whenever he was with Jacksonville. Jamison Williams is coming in from Alabama as he was the number one there. He's got a lot of hype about him right now. Who, whenever everybody's healthy, who do you think is going to be the number one for this team? Or is there one? Do you have 1A, 1B?
I'm going to say Williams. I think he has the most well-rounded game.
Yeah.
Out of all three of these guys. At Alabama, he was doing it all. Like you said, he was the number one there. I think provided that he's ready to go at the start of the season, because we know he was working back from that injury he suffered during the season last year.
Yeah.
He can come in right away and absolutely dominate. Plus the fact that teams aren't going to be able to double him because of all these other weapons on offense, and he's just going to feast in one-on-one coverage. And I just think he's the most talented. As you know, maybe my opinion, but from what I've seen on the tape, from what I've seen what he can do on the field when he was playing in college, I think he's going to be way better than Amon-Ra St. Brown and way better than DJ Chark.
Yeah, I think Jamison Williams is probably going to be the best whenever he gets back.
But if Jamison, I will say this. If Williams isn't back, don't be surprised to see Chark be that guy.
Yeah.
Chark has been tearing it up in camp.
Oh, yeah, big time. They They landed a gold mine in DJ Chark, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't getting talked about enough because DJ Chark, you know, he suffered in Jacksonville, as you know, the restaurant did with the whole Urban Meyer thing. So it doesn't get talked about enough. But DJ Chark landing on the Lions is, you know, kind of a hidden gem, if you will.
Could we be looking at what the Packers had way back when with
James Jones?
James Jones and Randall Cobb and
Greg Jennings,
Jordy Nelson too. At one point,
oh, man, that you're taking me back right there. Those mid to late 2000s Packers teams.
Yeah, three great wide receivers. I mean, could we be looking at? Do you think Goff can support all three of them?
That remains to be the question.
Yeah,
it's you want to say yes on paper, but I mean. Jared Goff is no Brett Favre, and he's no Aaron Rodgers, that's for sure.
No.
So I think he could support definitely one, maybe two, but someone's going to get shafted.
Who do you think is that?
That obviously begs the question, which of these players is kind of going to get the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
And if I had to pick one, it probably would be Amon-Ra.
For Dynasty, I would think I would take Amon-Ra and Jameis Williams.
Right, but in the short term, I think Chark would be a better player.
For this year, yeah, I think Jameson Williams.
Does Chark, if I'm not mistaken, Chark's only on the one-year contract anyways.
Is he?
So he's gone after this year unless they decide to re-up him. So absolutely, for Dynasty, give me those two all day because they'll be the core of that Lions offense for a long time along with Swift and Hawkinson.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they have the best potential right now. At least so.
Without
no, Chark is there. That's kind of weird. He says 2023, 2024, and then he's an unrestricted free agent 2023. So I don't know. Swatrek is high right now. But, yeah, I would definitely take JMO and Amon-Ra in Dynasty. So moving on. Green Bay. You got Alan Lazard is – probably the best returning receiver for Rodgers. You got Randall Cobb and really I think that's it.
Amari Rodgers as well.
Amari Rodgers, yes. But Alan Lazard, everybody's projecting him to be the number one wide receiver on this offense. He's going to be the most trusted by Rodgers, I think. But do you think he has wide receiver one – in fantasy potential, top 12 potential?
I'm going to say no on that because I think, you know, this is a year for Rodgers where he doesn't have Davante Adams, just one guy he can consistently feed the ball to. So I think he's going to kind of, you know, spread the ball around, which he's had to do in the past when necessary. So I think he can do it again. Because we're looking at, you know, some unproven guys, only, you know, one, I guess, two vets. So it's not like he sees, oh, I have this one superstar. Let me give him all the targets. You know, he's going to have to try some new things. And obviously, he could end up finding a guy he likes and just giving him all the targets. But for now, I think we're going to kind of see a bit of a spread.
Has he found the guy he likes already, though? I mean,
Rodgers. Yeah, we were talking about Romeo Doubs earlier. He's been lighting it up in camp. He and Rodgers seem to have a connection. So we'll see. But for now, I'm going to err on the side of caution.
I almost think it's now Rodgers doesn't have a choice. He's going to have to trust at least one rookie because – like you said, who else does he have,
right?
Other than Lazard, so.
And that, and I mean, could Dobbs be that rookie? Because like you said, Christian Watson hasn't really been, you know, playing in camp.
Yeah, and now he's going to have the early season rapport with Rodgers.
Exactly, and that's going to help.
Yeah, that's big with a guy like Rodgers. Right now, you were getting Romeo Doubs for next to nothing. That's definitely going to increase because right now Doubs is going as the 16th wide receiver. I think that's extremely low right now. I mean, a guy that has Aaron Rodgers for probably at least the next 2 years. I would take my shot on Romeo Doubs. I mean, Rodgers doesn't talk about rookie wide receivers ever. And he's said, I think, multiple times now that Romeo Doubs is impressing big time for him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, what do you got to lose?
If he's
somehow still available, you pick him up and Doesn't work out. But the upside's there.
I think both these guys take the chance on. I think I would rather have Dobbs right now. But Christian Watson, we haven't even seen him, like we said. So who knows? It could be Dobbs this month, Christian Watson next month. So moving on here, Minnesota. You got the best wide receiver, in my opinion, in the NFL.
I share that opinion 100%.
He has said that the Vikings are no longer a run-first team. I get you guys are not high on Kirk Cousins, but I'm extremely high on the guy. I think he's a clear-cut number one quarterback. Do you think this is another Justin Jefferson wide receiver one type season? I mean, do you think
there's no other option? That's just what it's going to be.
Is there
Justin potential Jefferson for is my favorite player in the NFL that's not in the Giants, and that is without question. I bought his jersey as soon as he got drafted. I was in love with the guy at LSU, and he's not a Viking, so I can root for him and not feel bad about it.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he's on the Cowboys. I would that'd be the worst thing ever. And they got Kevin O'Connell running the offense, and boy, what did he do for Matthew Stafford in that Rams offense? Cooper Kupp was a beast.
Went crazy.
Now he's coming to the Vikings, and I've been thinking about it. You know, I'm changing my tune a little bit on Kirk Cousins. I actually just made a trade for Kirk Cousins. I traded away Nico Collins for Kirk Cousins. I think there was a pick swap involved as well.
I would do that 100%.
Exactly, and it's super flex too.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, thank you. I will take and I have Jefferson already, so I wanted to get the stack.
100%.
Oh, my God. Justin Jefferson in this offense with a, you know, I'm going to say offensive guru in Kevin O'Connell because we saw what he did last year. I don't think it's a fluke. So it's an exciting time for Minnesota, and you can't forget these other guys that we're going to get to. Adam Thielen has shown that he's not washed up yet when he's been able to stay on the field, and he's a very quality number two option.
Yeah.
And Kingsley Osborne has shown flashes as well when he's got his opportunities. So it's not like they're short on weapons.
Yeah, I agree. Kirk Cousins, and I don't want to make this a threat about Kirk Cousins, but he was a top 24 quarterback 94% of his games last year. So you're sitting there, you're saying 94%, he's getting a far better coach for offensive-wise coming over from L.A., do you think he has a chance at putting up Cooper Kupp type numbers, 191 targets, 145 receptions, 1,947 yards, and 16 touchdowns?
I don't see why he couldn't. If there's anyone that could besides Jamar Chase, it would be Justin Jefferson.
I agree.
I think Jefferson's slightly better than Chase. So
I agree. I would have Jefferson.
The answer is yes. Justin Jefferson's a stud.
Yeah.
He can do it all. And if they're not going to be as much of a run-first team now, I mean, look out. I mean, you thought he's ready to reach the ceiling. I mean, the kid's only 22.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on here to Adam Thielen, and we'll go ahead and throw in KJ Osborne also. Osborne filled in really good last year for Thielen as he was hurt. Thielen is, what, 30, 31 now? He's starting maybe to break down physically, but you're still getting a guy that's very, very heavily used in the red zone by Kirk Cousins. Do you think Thielen has number two wide receiver potential? And if you don't, then do you think Osborne is going to take over as that number two?
I think it's still Thielen. He's still a pretty crisp route runner, and he's seems to be a favorite of Kirk Cousins in the red zone. Mm-hmm. As well, you know, there were many a time in the past couple seasons I've been frustrated by Adam Thielen getting the ball in the red zone because I just wanted Justin Jefferson to get everything.
Yeah.
but Steve Thielen's still very good. A clear secondary wide receiver now, obviously, with Justin Jefferson being Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. So I have him ahead of Osborne for sure. Thielen's still going to get his.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Osborne has wide receiver three potential?
I think Osborne has wide receiver three flex potential, especially if anything happens to Thielen.
Oh, yeah.
Because Thielen's gotten hurt before, so if Osborne has to step in as the two, that's a great thing for him.
Yeah. If Thielen goes down, I think Osborne is got wide receiver two potential.
Oh, easily.
At that point. So, but
– Because, yeah, if, with the way the offense is transitioning here, This can support multiple weapons to have very productive fantasy seasons.
I agree. So, moving along here, NFC South, Atlanta Falcons.
Boy, this is just sad. You can't really talk about anyone else.
Yeah, I know.
So, all right, let's talk about Drake London then, I guess.
Yeah, Drake London, he's wide receiver one in rookie draft. Do you think Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder can produce a number one type wide receiver season?
Well, they're going to have to. They're going to throw the ball to pass Kyle Pitts.
Do you think Drake London has wide receiver one, top 12 potential with just the amount of work he's going to get?
Yeah. The Falcons are going to be bad. We know they're playing for a top draft pick next year. Let's not sugarcoat it. Yeah. They're going to be without Calvin Ridley as well. They've been looking to trade some of their veterans.
Mm-hmm.
They're still there somehow.
Yeah.
So the teams are going to be, you know, double and triple teaming Kyle Pitts, who is the best weapon on this team, at least as of now. So Drake London is going to get a lot of opportunities on a Falcons team that's going to be throwing a lot because they're going to be playing from behind. Mm-hmm. And you know what that means.
Yeah. I don't see how both Drake London and Kyle Pitts don't get 150 targets apiece.
Yeah.
I mean,
because I promise you, Olamide, Zacchaeus, and whoever else they have over there are not getting in the way.
No, I mean, maybe Bryan Edwards might be a thing at some point for a little
even
bit.
Even then, I'm not really convinced on that either. He's just there. You know, it's whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
It's these guys. It's the Pitts in London show.
I agree. I mean,
Calvin Ridley suspended, so I mean, why talk about Calvin Ridley?
That's going to be my one thing. Calvin Ridley in Dynasty. He's going to be, what, 27, 28 whenever his suspension is up.
So yeah, it's not like the tank's empty.
Are you going and buying him with, I mean, you're gonna get him extremely cheap right now. This is the time to do it.
This is an extreme buy low. If you have an owner that's soured on him or wants to get something that, you know, could help them in the interim as more of a win now, absolutely. Because that's a guy you could take, rehab his value, and then sell him again later on if he comes back and performs like the Calvin Ridley of old.
I think right now you're getting him at extreme value. I mean, I'm seeing like Calvin Ridley for a third right now.
Like, and that's great. That. You do that every day of the week.
Yeah, I would too.
Because you can just stash him. He fits in an IR slot in a lot of
exactly. So I would definitely go out and buy him with his value going way the hell down right now. But moving on, Carolina, it's looking more and more like it's going to be Baker Mayfield. Which we all thought it was going to be, but it's kind of being confirmed now. DJ Moore, he has been a very, very good wide receiver in his career. I think he's topped 1,000 yards every season of his career. His big thing is getting in the end zone, and he's never played with a competent quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, if DJ Moore ever played with a competent quarterback, he'd easily be a top five wide receiver.
I agree.
I am of that opinion, and I will not change it, because DJ Moore is one of the best wide receivers in this league, and he gets his.
Do you think Baker helps him get in the end zone this year?
Yeah, and I also think that there's four touchdowns is ridiculous. Baker's going, again,
he's never scored more.
Same thing we saw with Washington and Wentz. You know, this is going to be by default, you know, the best quarterback that DJ Moore has played with in his career. And Baker can find his guys in the end zone. He's done it in Cleveland before, obviously. Yeah. So I think DJ Moore is going to be better. I think we could see 1,300, 1,400 yards, maybe 6 or 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because I'm not convinced that Baker's going to be all that in a bag of chips either.
Yeah.
But he's going to be better. So that means DJ Moore will be better.
Yeah. I think Carolina's probably looking at fourth in the division again. Or maybe probably third in the division. Atlanta's going to finish last, but
yeah.
I want to say he's going to be great and everything, and yardage wise, I think he is. But I'm hoping to God that the touchdown. He's never scored more than 4 touchdowns in a season.
Yeah, so and again, we talked about that 4 quarterback.
Yeah,
4 quarterbacks. So hopefully, Adam Baker
Mayfield. That. I mean, Mayfield is at least semi confident or competent. Yeah. So he's definitely better than Sam Darnold. But moving on here, Robbie Anderson, he hasn't been great since joining Carolina. Really hasn't been great since 2017. That was his best best season. Do you think he is anybody to target right now?
I have him in a couple of my leagues. He's kind of a bounce back slash sleeper guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because Robbie Anderson's been, you know, good in the past. He had his opportunities with the Jets. That's where he cashed in on the contract with the Panthers. But he hasn't been able to stay healthy. That's kind of his big thing. And with Baker coming in, I don't know if he can support two wide receivers. That's going to be the big thing. I really don't think he can. I think this is kind of just going to be DJ Moore's offense and everyone else is just going to live in it. Obviously, McCaffrey, but if we're talking about just wide receivers, just DJ Moore's world and everyone else lives in it.
I agree. I'm not going to go out and buy Robbie Anderson. I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to be able to support him at all. I think this is the DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey show, 100%.
No, we're only really talking about Terrace Marshall
either.
It's DJ Moore. That's it.
Terrace Marshall. The one guy that I want to talk about, though, screw Terrace Marshall. I don't think he's going to be anything. Rashard Higgins. He has a rapport with Baker Mayfield coming over from Cleveland.
Right.
Could he somehow squeak into a wide receiver 3?
It could happen. It helps having the previous experience.
Yeah.
I could see him pushing Marshall out the door. It's more of a relegatory.
Higgins scored in week 1, but it was Sam Darnold that threw it to him. So.
But it still shows they're getting him involved.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I might take a shot on him. I mean, I have him on. Just picked him up in one of my leagues off the waiver wire. So he's
That's kind of like a deep sleeper type of thing, right there.
Yeah. So deep sleeper for me on that. So moving along here, New Orleans Saints. They are finally looking like they're getting Thomas back after almost 2 years of.
Yeah, and he's looking like prime Michael Thomas, too.
Yes, he is. He's looking great again.
My God, if we get wide receiver 1 Michael Thomas again, watch out.
Yep, I agree.
That's somebody I'm targeting in all my drafts.
That was going to be my question on Thomas. I mean, you're getting him in the 9th round. That could be the biggest steal.
Smash that every day of the week.
Yes, 100%.
Oh.
If you want
to talk about a steal, you're talking about a steal right there.
If you were patient enough to wait on Michael Thomas, it's going to pay off, I think. I think we are getting Michael Thomas back as a top 10 receiver going forward. Enough said about that. Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave. I think Jameis Winston can support at least 2. We've seen him support Godwin and Evans before. Out of these 2, who do you think is that number 2 wide receiver?
It's Olave.
You think it's Olave?
It's Olave. He scored in preseason week 1.
Did he?
Running with the first.
Okay.
He's the best route runner coming out of college, I felt.
Yeah.
He has game-breaking ability. He can take it to the house from 50 yards out or wherever he ends up.
Yep.
That being said, Jarvis Landry has been very impressive in camp. And he's building a rapport with Jameis. You know, you'd like to see that, obviously. But I think in the end, talent wins out. And Chris Olave is more talented than Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I think definitely Olave is more talented. Jarvis Landry is going to get his, though.
Absolutely.
This could be. Because
there's no question about, you know, this is a good problem to have because whoever isn't the second wide receiver just gets to be a really good wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I think you got Michael Thomas as 1, and you might have 2A, 2B in Landry and Olave.
Now, we're talking dynasty, obviously, Chris Olave.
Oh, 100%.
Olave is the name to have.
Yeah, I agree. Olave, I mean, Jameis Winston is a very good quarterback. He's put up 5,000 yards in a season, 30-plus touchdowns. His main thing was he could not stop turning the ball over. He was on I think, 16-2 touchdown-to-interception ratio last year. So I'm thinking it's possible that the Saints have figured out how to get Winston to stop turning the ball over.
And if that's the case –
watch out. That's he's a top 10 quarterback for sure.
Yeah.
So, moving on here. Tampa Bay, you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Who's the wide receiver 1 whenever Godwin's healthy? Evans kind of gets the receiving touchdowns, and Godwin gets all the between the 20s work.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's Godwin, because it seems like that whenever Brady needs to sign anything clutch, anything big time, he's going to Chris Godwin. You know, like 3rd and 12, you need to pick up that first down, he's going to Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin still gets touchdowns too, so it's not like he's neglected in the red zone either.
Yeah.
So Chris Godwin had the most catches out of the two as well.
Yep.
That to me spells that's the guy who's the number one option in the offense. Not that Mike Evans is very far behind, but Chris Godwin's the number one.
I was so high on Evans this offseason now, because Chris Godwin was looking like he was going to start on the PUP list. I mean, they signed Russell Gage, but who the hell cares? Brady was returning. Evans was looking like it was going to be just him and nobody else. I mean, they got rid of O.J. Howard. Gronk is no longer there. But now you got Godwin coming back, signed Julio Jones. They got Russell Gage. Does Evans still have number one overall type potential?
Not number one overall. Not anymore.
Is he?
But he could still be a wide receiver one. That I will make the case for.
Right.
Because he's done it in the past with him and Godwin there. Mike Evans has been incredibly consistent. He doesn't get enough credit for it, but he's had 1,000 yards, I think, in every year he's been in the league,
yep.
if I'm not mistaken. You know, stepping right in and talk about production.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a big boy who finds the red zone. Boy, does he find the red zone, he scores. So, yep. I mean, that's kind of all the things you want in a wide receiver one for fantasy. And he gets yards and he gets touchdowns.
Bang,
bang, boom. Not really don't have to go in anymore.
Yeah.
This is an offense with Tom Brady that you can support two wide receivers and have them both be wide receiver ones. You know, you can't say that for a lot of other teams, but this is one of them.
Yeah. Out of Julio Jones and Russell Gage, who's the number three? Because we all know Brady can support three wide receivers.
It's Julio.
Julio.
A big name like that doesn't come to, you know, despite all his injuries and his problems, he doesn't come to Tampa Bay unless he's assured of a chance to produce and be a guy.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that kind of pushes Russell Gage towards the irrelevant territory unless there's an injury. Injury to Julio, I love Russell Gage.
Oh, yeah. Before Julio
signed, we were all hyping up Russell Gage. We thought Russell Gage was going to be a nice flex option, you know, for a lot of fantasy teams coming into the year with Brady.
Yep.
But now, not so much. You're kind of waiting for, you know, if something happens.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's Julio, but I would definitely stash Russell Gage because we saw it last year. Julio Jones got hurt quite a bit whenever he was with Tennessee. So Julio will be the number three as long as he's healthy, but that's a big if. One last question on these guys. This is probably – we say this every year, but I could really see this being Brady's last season playing. He said that he wanted to be 45, play until he's 45. Well, he's going to be 45. Are you kind of panicking on any of these guys in Dynasty because of that?
I look forward to us having the same conversation about Brady next year, by the way.
I know. But there's that thought that this is Brady's last year.
I don't want to say panic because I think Tampa Bay has a good enough roster. When a lot of these guys locked up under contract, that they can bring in another at least decent QB, if not, you know, superstar level, that would help a lot of these guys produce. Because we saw Evans and Godwin produce with Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jameis at the time was, you know, pretty average because, you know, he had the turnover issues that were holding him back.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if Brady leaves, I think Tampa is going to do a trade or something, you know, bring somebody in good enough to hold up at least one, if not two, of these guys. You know, maybe not on the same level where both are wide receiver ones, but maybe more like one's a wide receiver one and one's like a lower wide receiver two. But there'll still be fantasy production for these guys.
If I was Tampa Bay, I would go and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo right now. At least then you got a competent quarterback if Brady goes down because he's getting older. And then you at least have a potential for a starting quarterback next year.
True.
So,
but I think that, you know, Cleveland's too much of an obvious fit for Garoppolo now.
Yeah, I think so too. So. But they better do it because the season's coming apart.
Yeah, it's just going to happen. It's got to happen sooner rather than later.
You know, so, I agree. I think they might be sold on Jacoby there. But,
yeah, we'll see. All right, time for the last division.
Yeah, NFC West here. Talking Arizona here. Is DeAndre Hopkins still the number one there, or did Marquise Brown take over?
No, nah, it's still DeAndre Hopkins. Come on, it's DeAndre Hopkins. I know he's suspended for 6 games, and you know that's the bummer, but he is still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL when he's on the field. And he and Kyler have a good rapport. There's never a problem with that. Mm-hmm. So as long as he's there, he's going to get his. So I don't really think there's really a need to go too much into that. But while during those 6 games that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be out, well, look who steps in. Kyler's old college teammate, Hollywood mm-hmm. Brown.
Yep.
And he had his best season of his career last year with Baltimore.
Yeah.
As the only weapon there. And now he steps into a much better offense with a comparable quarterback, I think, who has probably – I would say Kyler has a better arm than Lamar, so I think that's a good thing for him.
Yeah.
So I think Hollywood has a chance to really feast for the – you know, closer for the first half of the season.
Yeah. Marquise Brown was the number five, top five wide receiver for the first half of last year. Do you think he's at least got top 10 potential this year?
Top 15.
Top 15?
Top 15. Because right. I think he's going to taper off a little bit when Hopkins comes back.
Yeah, he's going to get his big time whenever Hopkins is out. But
absolutely. But when Hopkins comes back, I think there's going to be a bit more of a shift.
Yeah. AJ Green, Rondale Moore, are you taking a shot in any one of them? I don't think AJ Green for Dynasty, but redraft.
Redraft, you maybe take a shot on AJ Green as the third weapon. Dynasty, obviously, you want to take a shot on Rondale Moore because he's still really young. He got drafted really young. I think Rondale Moore's only 21 still. 21, maybe 22.
Yeah, I think he's 22. So
yeah, so still. He hasn't really shown much yet, you know, kind of injuries. Or, you know, Arizona's bringing in other guys, so he's kind of been forced backwards, which is unfortunate because I love Rondale Moore, you know, coming out of college from Purdue, I believe. You know, he was really intriguing. But he hasn't really had a chance to shine, and I'm kind of disappointed about that. But that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. I mean, he received 64 targets, caught 54 of them, so he's got a very good catch rate. I just think that I don't know if the work is going to be there for him. I think AJ Green is probably that number two until Hopkins comes back.
Right.
So,
don't forget Zach Ertz is there too. Who kind of seemed to you know find himself again.
Yep. So I don't know if there's a place for Rondale Moore on this team.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
So. Moving along here, Los Angeles, Cooper Kupp, clear cut number one wide receiver here. Put up the best wide receiver season last year. Do you think he has a chance to repeat it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, why not?
Yeah,
I mean, Kevin O'Connell will be gone.
Yeah,
there's that, but. Sean McVay.
Sean McVay is so good.
Sean McVay's no slouch, you know.
Yeah, Sean McVay is so good.
Right. So I don't think we're going to see 1,900, close to 2,000 yards from Cooper Kupp. I still think we're going to see a season in which he could potentially finish as the overall number one again.
I agree. I'm
excited for Allen Robinson in this offense, though, because Allen Robinson got sold down the river by Chicago. We know about that. Mm-hmm. Screw you, Matt Nagy. I hate you. Mm-hmm. But Allen Robinson is going to return to form with the best quarterback he's ever played with.
I agree. I am extremely excited about Allen Robinson. It's
fine. Again, you want to talk about offenses that can support two wide receiver ones. This is one of them.
100%.
This is one of them. Low-end wide receiver one Allen Robinson season would not surprise me.
Yes, 100%. We've seen Allen Robinson put up great numbers with nothing at quarterback. Matthew Stafford is going to feed him the ball a ton. They're still very, I want to say pass-heavy, but they're going to run a lot of plays on offense. So – you're going to see Allen Robinson definitely finish as a wide receiver too.
And teams are going to focus a lot on Kupp. That's only going to open up opportunities for Robinson.
Yep.
And even Van Jefferson. We're going to talk about Van Jefferson too.
Yep.
He's sneaky value. He could be a flex play every now and then.
Yes, he is a
In the 15th round or later, I feel like that's really good value.
Yep.
For the third wide receiver in an explosive offense like that.
Yep.
Sign me up any day of the week.
I agree. I think all three of these guys are going to be very relevant this year. So moving along here, San Francisco. They are going to have Trey Lance as their quarterback. So Deebo Samuel had a great season last year. Do you see him repeating with Trey Lance?
I think there's going to be a downtick in the receiving department. Because Trey Lance is basically operating under a rookie season because he didn't really get to play too much last year.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some growing pains as a passer. And he's going to run the ball as a mobile quarterback, so that's also going to take away some passing opportunities that otherwise may have been intended for a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So Devo's two-way ability is not going to change. He's going to get – he's on the ground again. I think they're going to keep using him as a dynamic player. He got paid to be that dynamic player. His well-deserved extension.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Devo can still finish as a wide receiver one, but I don't think he's going to get 1,400 yards again. We could be looking at 1,100, 1,200 probably. So there's going to be a bit of a downtick.
I agree. I'm a big Trey Lance believer. I'm hoping he can be good in the NFL here, but there's a lot of unknowns about him. So I agree. I think Debo is definitely a 1,000-yard, 5-touchdown candidate. Rushing might even go up a little bit, but Debo's Debo. I think he's still a number one wide receiver in the league. Brandon Ayuk, he is in the doghouse, it seems like, every single offseason with Shanahan. But he put up his best season last year, 826 yards and 5 touchdowns. Do you think he is a possibility of a wide receiver too?
I mean, it's not much else after them.
No.
Besides, I mean, you got Kittle, obviously, but he's tight end. So, I mean – the targets are going to be there. As long as he doesn't do something to piss off Shanahan,
yeah,
I think he's got the chance to do it. Again, can Trey Lance, you know, step up and be the quarterback that the Niners drafted in the third overall to be? And that's going to play a big role for both of these guys.
Yeah,
but I think that's for an ADP in the ninth round, I mean, I guess it's not bad. I would take a chance on it.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question for both these guys is can Trey Lance step up and be that solid QB for him? I mean, at least be as good as Jimmy Garoppolo, which shouldn't be too hard, but we'll see. Last team here, Seattle Seahawks might be as ugly right now as the Chicago Bears.
Which sucks because these are two really good receivers.
Yes, these two are very, very good wide receivers. What's surprising me here is you're getting Tyler Lockett in the 12th round right now.
Yeah, I'll say this. These are two very compare contrast. I don't like DK in the fourth round, but I do like Tyler Lockett.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Drew Lockett quarterback is more helpful for Tyler Lockett than it is for DK Metcalf.
Who do you think it's going to be, Geno or Drew Lock, though?
I do think it's going to be Drew Lock.
You think it's going to be Lock?
Lock has been better in camp, but I know that much.
All right. It's going to be interesting because we've seen what Drew Lock can do. I mean, we've seen what Geno Smith can do, too. I mean, neither one of them have been great. I think Dynasty Metcalf is way more appealing than Redraft, for sure.
Oh, obviously.
So, DK this year is not going to do much, I don't think. I think this is probably going to be his worst year. Lockett, still that, you know, heave it up and let him go catch it. And I think Drew Lock can do that. So, if it were me, I would take Tyler Lockett over DK Metcalf, but
absolutely.
I don't know.
For Dynasty, I'll take DK and hope the situation gets better, you know, sooner rather than later, because I think the Seahawks are kind of in the Bears' boat of let's just have a bad record this year and go and get a good quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. So that'll do it for
Before we end, Meanie, I actually have one trade, if that's okay. Just one.
What's up? Yeah, go ahead.
We'll make it quick. I saw this in one of my other leagues. It's a Dynasty Superflex full PPR.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I believe it was Jameis Winston, ETN, and a 2024 second for Rashad Bateman and Breece Hall.
Oof.
And the person getting the quarterback was dealing with the Wilson injury.
Okay.
And wanted to get a quarterback because he doesn't have another one. It's a team in poor straits at quarterback.
And Superflex, I think it's got to be the Jameis Winston.
The Winston side, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like we just talked about, Jameis Winston has top 10 potential with all those weapons right now.
So even at the cost of losing Breece Hall and Rashad Bateman? Because I was reading that and I'm thinking to myself, what's the difference between, you know, ETN and Hall? Is it that big a gap?
I don't think so. I'm extremely high on ETN. I think ETN is going to be a top 10 running back this year. I mean, I was high on him coming out, and then he got hurt last year. But I'm big on Travis Etienne, so I think that Etienne and Breece Hall, Breece Hall might be a little bit better, but I don't think it's a huge gap. But Superflex, the quarterback position is so important. So I'm kind of in that same situation right now. It's not anything like Jameis Winston. But I'm looking at acquiring Ryan Tannehill for let me bring it up here. Ryan Tannehill for Ramondre Stevenson in a 2023 third.
Yeah, do that any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seriously considering it. The only thing that's holding me back is, will Tannehill keep the job all year? But I'm giving up a potential top 15 running back in
Ramon. Maybe. I'm not convinced Belichick's going to give everything to one running back. Even last year, he wouldn't trust Stevenson or Damien Harris. And they drafted two more running backs this year. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Even James White retiring, that doesn't change anything for me.
Yeah, Superflex, quarterback is so important. You have to solidify. If you don't have at least two, more likely three solid quarterbacks, you're not a contender. So,
see, and that's the problem with that particular team. No quarterbacks at all. No quarterbacks now with Wilson hurt.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a desperation move. You kind of have to do it.
Yeah, I agree, man. I want to say Breece Hall, and Breece Hall is going to be great, but Rashad Bateman should be great too. But they're not as important as the quarterback position in Superflex.
Right.
One QB, it's a different story, but Superflex, no. So. But that will do it for us. I want to thank everybody that donated to the Humane Society on our charity podcast, Podathon. Again, that was a great cause, and we raised, I think, what, 700-something, Steve was saying. So that's huge. We doubled and more from what we had last year. So big thank you for you guys donating. But that'll do it for us. We got our staff articles coming up starting this week. So definitely tune into that. Other than that, that's all I got. Hope you guys have a good week.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week, guys.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Cooper Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. I listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowin' that, blowin' that, blowin' that, go.